9. Jesse Stone hadn't dreamed about Pueblo or Vic Prado or Julio Blanco. He hadn't dreamed about Ozzie Smith, the Wizard of Oz. He hadn't dreamed. Given the prodigious amount of scotch he'd consumed after leaving the reunion dinner, he wasn't sure he'd had enough functioning brain cells to conjure up a dream. His mouth was as dry as a kiln, and though he couldn't actually see it, he was certain there was a long, sharp object embedded in his head somewhere. He was impressed. A man who drank as regularly as he did had to work pretty hard to whip up a hangover like the one he was suffering from. It wasn't all bad, because Dee really was in bed next to him, naked as the day she was born, but looking like a goddess. He hadn't blacked out, nor had he imagined how intense the sex had been. Jesse hadn't forgotten the sounds Dee had made, the way her body had shuddered. He had been with many women in his lifetime, and not many were a match for Dee. It was still dark when Jesse cranked open his eyes and wrestled himself out of bed and into the bathroom. He found a glass somewhere and drank what felt like a gallon of tap water. It was no myth. New York City tap water did taste good. He dug a fistful of aspirins out of his bag and swallowed some more water. He brushed his teeth and showered as quietly as he could, which, given the design of the room, was no mean feat. He couldn't manage to shave for the throbbing in his head. Before stepping back by the bed, he fantasized about waking Dee up in a way that might inspire another bout like last night's, but his head was killing him. The fantasy he settled on was a few more hours of sleep. Neither fantasy was going to come true. Dee was up, and though she smiled as she passed him, some of the glimmer was out of her neon. She'd had a fair amount to drink as well, and the sun was now coming up. "Listen," he said, "I promised to meet Vic for an early breakfast." "Ooh, can I tag along? I think I need to put some nourishment into my body that wasn't distilled in the Scottish Highlands."
"I don't think so. Vic seemed to have something important to say to me in private."
"Sounds mysterious. Any ideas?"
"None," he said. "How are you feeling?"
"About you, pretty fantastic. About my hangover, not so much. Can I see you again later?"
"I'd like that a lot. After breakfast, I'm going to come back and get some more sleep. We can talk after that."
"I'm heading down to my room," she said, emerging from the bathroom and slipping into her dress. She put her hand on Jesse's cheek and rubbed her thumb across his lips. "Are all cops so amazing in the sack?"
"How else do you think I made chief?"
"Don't make me laugh. It hurts too much."
Dee bundled up her underthings, tucked them beneath her arm, and hooked her shoes on her fingers.
"Later, darling." She kissed Jesse's cheek and left.
He called the hotel operator and asked for Vic's room. Vic seemed to be waiting by the phone and picked up on the first ring. "The lobby in 5 minutes," Jesse said, and hung up. Though the sharp object in his head had softened around the edges, and the pain was duller in kind, Jesse knew he looked like crap. Vic, on the other hand, looked like he got up this early every morning and had a team of valets to put him together. But Jesse saw some cracks in his old double-play partner's veneer. Vic was on edge, pacing, his head on a swivel, making sure the Tweedle dumbbell boys weren't around. When Jesse walked up to him, Vic placed a cup of takeout coffee in his hand. "I hope you like milk and sugar in your coffee," he said, urging Jesse toward the front door.
"Fine with me."
At that point, Jesse would have accepted anything that mildly resembled coffee. He took a long swallow and followed Vic out of the hotel onto the street. Even at that hour, a fleet of yellow cabs prowled the avenues and traffic was building. Jesse took notice and Vic noticed Jesse notice.
"God love this town," Vic said. "When we used to come in to play the Mets..."
Jesse wasn't in the mood, especially with a hangover, especially after what Julio Blanco had had to say.
"You didn't drag me down here to talk about playing at Shea, Vic. It's gone now, anyway."
"Yeah, you're looking a little green around the gills. So, tell me, how was she? I mean, sometimes it's all I can do not to put the moves on D myself."
"And you didn't meet me down here at this hour to question me about something I would never talk to you about."
"You used to tell me all about you and Kayla," Vic said.
That was then.
You mean before she...
Yes, I mean before all of it. That was a long time ago, Vic. A lot has changed.
I saw you were sitting next to Blanco last night. What garbage did that miserable prick...
Jesse's temporary reprieve from the headache was over. He took another sip of the coffee and said, "Forget Julio Blanco. Forget Kayla and Dee. What am I doing here, standing on the street with you at..."
Jesse Stone never finished the question. His cell phone buzzed in his pocket. Vic's cell phone went off as well. Only his ringtone was "Take me out to the ball game." Neither man seemed pleased by their respective calls. It was too early for peanuts and Cracker Jacks. Jesse saw that the call was from the Paradise PD. He excused himself and stepped away from Prado.
"This is Chief Stone."
"Jesse?"
It was Molly Crane, and he didn't like the tone of her voice.
"What's up?"
"Nothing good. You better get back here. The Salter family handyman just found a murdered girl at the old house on the bluff."
"Murdered how? When?"
"We just got the call. I'm headed out there now."
"I'm on my way. And call Healy."
Jesse looked back at Vic Prado, who appeared worse than he had only a few minutes earlier. Prado was still on the phone, and he didn't seem happy with the party on the other end of the line. But that wasn't Jesse's problem. He walked back into the hotel and through the lobby. As he hurried to catch the elevator, he saw Vic's pair of muscle heads rushing to the hotel door.